Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have quite a week this week. You would not believe all the things that happened in a small community like Benton Harbor. And, you know, I always talk about defunding the police. I mean it. You see, a lot of times people be just talking. I mean, defund them. I don't want to give them another dime of my money. I don't. The fire department I can live with, because even though I never had a fire, but you can always have one. And I'm more conscious of them. But the police department, Benton Township Police Department, defund them. Benton Harbor Police Department, defund them. Don't give them another dime. If they want to drive around in a police car, make them pay for their own gas out of their own checks. Absolutely. Last week, I think I talked about how this young man, he was shot right across the street from the funeral home. This lot, they've been asking them to clean this lot up, get these people off this lot. They selling drugs. They doing everything you could think of. But yet and still, the police department had partnership with them and allows this to happen. And a young man got killed, even though he wasn't the nicest young man there was in the world. But, you know, a life is a life. You know, you can't just take people's lives. And that's how I feel about this. And people we got to start standing up for what's right. We're felling our children. Anytime that you don't take a stand, thinking that that they're going to come after you, it's too late. They're going to come after you because you stupid enough to say something like that. You should be. Unbelievable. Wow. I said this the other day, you know, people that live in Benton Harbor, Michigan, not all of them, but most of them, these people got to be the stupidest people probably in the world. And it hurts me to say that. It do. But you should listen to some of their conversation and what they're willing to accept and what they're willing to kill you over, what they're willing to get mad at you over. They don't even call the police here no more. They won't do it because there's no reason to call the police here. First of all, they may not come. Second of all, if they do come, they might arrest you. Third, if they come, they might even shoot you. This is why in this city you got to defund the police. You can no longer allow them in your community, especially when they don't mean you any good. That's right. And I want to talk about Green from Louisiana, right outside of Baton Rouge, how police cover up stuff. This is nothing new. Folks, and stop thinking this is new. Only thing now, everybody got a camera. And the police officers are forced to wear a camera. They've been killing people and killing people. This is a new hanging, putting the rope around new. They've been doing it through the court system for years. You can't even go inside the courtroom and expect a fair trial. It's not going to happen. Most likely you're going to have an all-white jury. And for reason unknown, white folks believe that you're guilty without hearing any evidence. I can see how they could think that way because they're so dishonest. Not all, but most. It's unfortunate that we have to go through stuff like this. To me, it's a no-brainer. Let the chips fall where they may. None of us is perfect. And anytime you walk around here thinking you're perfect, you know you're not perfect because you're lying for saying something like that. But we have to stand up. Things should be much better than what they are. But the reason they're not, we have too many sellouts in our race, in our community. Nobody will believe what is happening here in our community. You would have to live in this community to understand all the stuff that happened. A very, very small community. Very small. But it's unfortunate how they do the people here. Even when we have an all-black city council, all black, not one white anywhere other than some of the management position. They like, see, black people like to have white folks over them for some reason. They got Whirlpool Corporation, the biggest crooks there is in the nation. There was a big fire in London that killed 79 people. One of their products caused that fire and caused 79 people to be killed. But yet and still, when they come to a meeting and ask for something, and they're so bold, they don't ask for themselves. They ask for other people, too, because they know that these folks will be going to break their neck to give them what they want. You should see how they be just shinning and grinning. When they start talking and start singing, they just start dancing, these elected officials. And they think they're somebody. And then let me tell you about the community. They always, these are their words. I went to school with him. Like that means something. A lot of people went to school with John Gacy, too. And he killed 45 boys. But I'm saying this to tell you, stop saying crazy, stupid stuff, Benton Harbor. I can't talk about no other city, but I can talk about Benton Harbor. Some of the stupidest stuff, the water was bad. There was a breach in the water this week. And guess what? They was acting like it was no difference. Oh, I don't drink the water, but I brush my teeth with it. I don't drink the water, but I bathe in it. You contaminating your body, dummy. You can't do this with this water. This water is bad. It's bad. But if you don't complain about it, it's going to continue like this. If we didn't start 3 years ago testing this water, they would still be saying that the water was good and drinkable. Fortunate, but this is the way we do things. I'm excited. I'm excited to know that we have to stand up and fight back. And stop doing all these stupid things. You're willing to kill somebody because claiming somebody disrespect you by looking at you. And you walk around with a size 18 shoe up your butt with a white foot in it and not saying a mumbling word. Yeah. But you're willing to kill somebody. Kill somebody. Kill another black man for looking at you. Break in another black man's car. Oh, man. I just don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know. And the way that they get away with this, we are so divided up. Anytime that you have this much division among yourselves, this is what's going to happen. What happened in Louisiana, where this young man, 2 years ago, I would say he was beaten to death. I would say this. And they was laughing about it because they know that they're going to get away with it. There would be no penalty, you know. And you know, I'm for. I'm a peaceful guy. But I don't think there's ever going to be a change without a conflict. And there's going to be people going to get hurt. People going to get killed. But it's never going to be a change until people take a stand. You go out here, Mr. Policeman, and kill somebody. Four or five people should be waiting for you on your front porch. That's right. Four, five people should be waiting for you on your front porch. You see, There got to be a penalty out here killing people. You cannot kill someone and go home and go to bed or go home to your family like if nothing happened. And then the cover-up, it's not just that police officer. It's the sergeant. It's the lieutenant. It's the captain. It goes all the way up the chain how they protect each other. And they're going to do it. They are going to protect each other at all costs. But we have to. White supremacy is here, whether you like it or not. And black folks help them. Anytime you become a sellout, what you're doing, you're feeding that white supremacy. Because that's what they're doing. They will destroy you. They will destroy your wife. They will destroy your children, your grandchildren, and won't think nothing of it. Then go home and go to sleep like nothing happened. That's right. Won't think nothing of it. And then try to shift the blame to you. It's your fault. It's your fault that I destroyed you. It's your fault I lied on you. It's your fault. It's always your fault, never their fault. And Trump is a perfect example of that, you see. And people can say whatever they want. Anybody who voted for Trump is a racist. Anybody. I don't care who it is. If you're a black person, you're just pitiful and stupid. But if you're a white person, you voted for Trump, you're racist, straight up racist. And I'm going to say it. Every last one of them that voted for him is a racist. So we got 73 racist people, 73 million racist people in this country, at least, because they voted for him. And sometimes people don't like that, but the truth is a lie. The truth is a lie. Face the truth, you see, and stop trying to cover up for these people. Call a spade, you know. Because it's going to get worse before it gets better. Because they keep getting away with it. Anytime you get away with something, you take it to the next level. See how much more you can get away with. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Who would believe it? Only in America. But I have my special guest on today, my good friend, Ms. Chapman. She don't like me to call her Ms. Chapman. I call her Ms. Chapman. I got a lot of respect for her. And what I did, I got the police report and that she sent to me, which is amazing. And I'm just going to read some of it. And here's what the police officer said. They said that Ms. Chapman, she stated that Mr. Sanapo, I think that's how you pronounce it, asked for her computer in order to start his investigation. Once the lawsuit was completed, he returned her computer 2 months later. Ms. Chapman believed that Mr. Chapnap was not truthful with her and accessed her data and computer software without her authorization and then forwarded her data information to the New York Times newspaper. Chapman believed this because when she retrieved her computer, she noticed suspicious activity on her email account that she did not authorize. She investigated further and found out that her email account had been hacked by a company named Object Picker. She was able to get this information when she contacted AOL email account. The unknown person who hacked her email was using the following address. Ever since her email account was hacked, her phone has been blocked. No incoming calls were allowed. She also stated her computer was hacked and it might have a virus. But Chapman did not have any further, any personal information or did she have any further complaint to report at this time. But here's my thought. How you hire a lawyer and they give your computer to the New York Times. How do you hire a lawyer and your lawyer started working with the people that you're suing It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. But listen, let me bring in Ms. Chapman. And I tell you, after reading the information that you gave me, I'm excited because I think that we can undress them. I think that we can get to the bottom of this. But let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
The attorney that you hired, there's an echo in your phone. The attorney that you hired.
Yes, can you hear me now? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you now. The attorney that you hired, what would make him give the information, your information, to the New York Times?
Well, you know, well, first of all, thank you for having me on again, and it's so amazing to talk to you again. It's been a couple of weeks, and I'm glad you had all the information and accessed it, because it is disturbing. It actually relates to everything that that's going on with us, even with the police department. Every day I research and I work, and it's disturbing. These lawyers, I didn't have to pay. They took the case. Pro bono, and I see why. Yes, I see why, because what I've learned as that police report was taken in 2018. Now the case was closed under duress in 2017. So I'm actually sitting here looking at a document. AOL had given me a document because I asked for a list of people who are on my computer. And I asked Facebook as well. And the beautiful thing about that is Facebook and all your other social medias, they will give you a copy of everyone on your computer with the dates and the time. So my lawyer, my so-called lawyers, David Holland and Rod Smala, they took the case, used discovery to obtain all of my information so that they could put me in this program. He worked with, if I can remember, he defended John McCain as well. He lost the case with the New York Times. But I think he's the go-to person to help the New York Times because at a hearing, I was ordered to give my computers to the lawyers, and I did. And looking at this document, I'm seeing these lawyers on my computer while it's in the New York Times custody. So basically, the New York Times and Homeland Security and the military, as I'm looking, they were all on my computer when it was missing. So they stole my computer, and I sent you an email between me and that lawyer, Rod Smala, when he said, oh, don't worry, we gave your computer to the defendants, but they won't touch it. Well, I'm actually looking at a document on the date that they had it, which is October 6th in 2017, and I'm actually looking at them on my Facebook. There's about three of them. There's four monitors on my computer, and they're not mine. It belongs to, I believe, from my research, it's NSA. I just think that the New York Times freaked out, and this was their way of dealing with me because the whole entire article was false, and this was their way.
Let me ask you this, Ms. Simon. What would make them think for one second to request your computer?
I think the whole hearing, I think they're using the court system. It seems to be two court systems going on here. I don't think that I was at a real court hearing. It seemed like it was the four lawyers and the New York Times lawyers and the judge, they all knew each other. I think this was just something that they do when they're putting you in a SARS or a PRISM program. I think this is just a process. So they took my computer, and the thing is, they didn't anticipate that I would find out that it was them doing this to me, because according to the FISA court and ACLU, no one can really prove that this is happening. But I'm sitting here looking at the proof. Like, I think I sent you some information as well with that IP address. You know, that
yes,
IP address? That is
a
military IP address. Not only is it a military IP address, it's actually an IP address that I was fighting with a hacker one day. That same IP address was based out of T-Mobile. So apparently they have an office inside T-Mobile Corporation, and they're running it. So basically what's happening is, even what you were talking about today, my research is really showing that the police department is all in cahoots with the military, and they're working working with like an APK package. So basically, just like this document, like I'm literally looking at three people. One of them is on my computer, and they're on my Facebook. So I think what's happening is, I think that they are surveillancing a lot of people, and they're blackmailing a lot of people, black people, because I've been, you know, discovering that this is what's happening even in my personal life with people. So we're in a lot of trouble. Like, we're seriously in a lot of trouble, because the FISA court won't allow people to sue. They won't allow this to be public, because they don't think that anyone can sue. But I'm literally sitting here looking at a document. It's not my IP address. It's on my Facebook. They're using something called Dalvik, Linux, Facebook, Orca. These are all NSA tools. So I spoke with a former NSA comrade, friend of mine, and he said he's spoken to about 12,000 targets. And it was the first time that he actually seen someone with some real proof. I mean, I'm literally sitting here looking at the virtual machine that they're using on us, and the arm. And this is something a lot of people don't know about. You know, we just don't know these things unless we really research, and it's not a public thing. But I feel like I'm in a unique position, because I literally can show this document with proof that there is illegal surveillance, and corporations are actually complicit. Because I'm, like I said, I'm sitting here looking at the neural monitoring. Like, I have numbers on my phone, and for the life of me, I couldn't figure out what are all these numbers. They're like group numbers. So I found out recently that these group numbers that I can see on my phone has something to do with carcinogenic radiation. So I think the radiation from the phone, I think, is very high, according to this document, with radio frequency field, because I could see the groups. So I am in a full-blown gang stalking, Terry operation program, and they're busted. Like, I literally caught everybody. Everyone has their pants down, and I caught them. So now, I had called you last week, and I had told you my good news. I had spoke with Ronald Childs, the journalist. He's an African-American journalist, and he has committed himself to exposing this whole entire operation. That's why I want you to be involved as well. So he's going to write stories about this and just help me expose it, maybe perhaps in a documentary. But this is, you know, this is some good stuff here. But the problem is, it's very difficult for us to do anything about it unless we go public, but we have to be organized. So the press conference that you offer to help with, we'll have to, we really are going to have to bring out all the targets and, you know, all the support that we can get, because this is, you know, this is very serious. This is, from what I'm looking at and researching, this is the Edward Snowden operation that he was warning us about years ago. And I found out that not only am I in this program, my son is in this program, and it has been confirmed by the former NSA person that I'm sold to the securities. So they sold me on a Colonel account, me and my son, to the securities. And apparently it's the lawyers. I don't know who else is involved, but I know that Rod Smala and David Holland definitely enrolled me in this biometric service. Because I found the biometric service. So it looks like I'm sold. I am officially in this slave program, my son and I. So that press conference, I'm working with the journalist who's coming here to my home next week to sit down for 3 days so that we can get all this together. You know, we're going to talk to you. My friend Lisa, she's on the line right now speaking. I met her on this line. She's been helping me. So I think that we're gonna have a chance to come out, because they can't arrest us all. They can't put all of us in a mental institution. We're all not crazy. And no one's ever going to be able to say that I'm crazy, because I'm sitting here looking at a document with my computer in the custody of my lawyers, and they're on my Facebook, and they weren't supposed to be. And there's three of them. So whatever God has in store for us, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, because this is very – my research has shown that this is – pretty, it's organized, and it's military, corporations, security companies, and yeah, so that's what's going on.
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question. Where did you find these lawyers at?
You know, I was calling on the phone looking for lawyers when the article came out, and I spoke to someone named Henry Kaufman. And he said he knew the New York Times and that he worked with them at one point, and he would like to try to get them to take it down. And really, honestly, that's all I really wanted, because I was in the process of managing my son's political career. I showed you documentation of that, you know, my son. So I was like, you know, okay, and if they take it down, okay, fine, because you know, I just didn't need this in my life. So I think the wheels were spinning, and he introduced me to Rod Smala, Professor Rod Smala, and I think they just this program is just so well ran, and I think they're a part of it, because they didn't miss a beat. They didn't miss a beat. But the thing is, I knew something, you know, like I was telling you before, it just reeked of bad faith. I knew something was going on, but it was very difficult to find another lawyer. But I did some pretty good documentation along the way that will prove that it was indeed these lawyers that put me and my son in this program.
Wow. Let me ask you this. One of the articles that you sent me is titled "Woman Cited Racist Reason for Refusal to Rent." They refused to rent you an apartment in South Africa?
Yeah, my husband and I, we ran an office in South Africa, as you know, in Johannesburg, working with Nelson Mandela and the ANC. So, you know, The reason why I included that, because you can't find me on Google, really. People are trying to find me, and it's just difficult to find me because these military people, the Homeland Security and the DOJ, they all have back doors. They all have back doors. They have the ability to go into your phone, anyone's phone, backdoor style, and look and see whatever they want to see. They want to blackmail you. They can make you and force you to do whatever they want to do because they're in your phones and they're on your computer. So I wanted to send you something about me and, you know, photos of me, myself, my late husband, Nelson Mandela, and, you know, my life, just to give you an idea.
Let me say this: when you were saying that they didn't want to rent to you, are you saying the white part of South Africa didn't want to rent to you, or what?
Well, the Afrikaners didn't want to rent to my husband and I because, you know, this lady said that she won't be able to sell her house if she rented it to us. So that's what happened. She didn't want to rent to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's fine because, I advised my husband, so I called the newspaper and they did a beautiful story about him. And so that was, you know, just something I just want you to see so you know, a little bit about me. Because I don't have a Facebook. And according to this document that I'm actually looking at, they are using something called Facebook Orca to shut my Facebook down. And I'm looking at the proof. No one is going to get away with this. This thing is so... No, because I'm looking at my IP address while it's at the New York Times and someone's on it. On the day, the next day, that I gave them my computer. Like, they had my computer in their custody, and I'm sitting here looking at what they were doing on my computer. And they're never going to get away with that because it's right here in front of my face.
Well, you know what? You might have the evidence, but it's going to be quite a fight. The New York Times is a corporation that has behind its government and everything else, and it's going to be a real challenge. But the key is, like I told you earlier, you always got to have numbers. Numbers is crucial. You know, you got to have numbers too. Absolutely.
Indeed.
But listen, you got 2 minutes to tell us what you want, and I got to move on. But I'm happy, and when I read this about South Africa, it really got my attention. I tell you that much. You know?
Well, we're definitely going backwards. We're in a lot of trouble, and you know, we just need to talk about these things more. But basically, you know, I'm just working. I have a meeting, like I said, with Ronald Childs. And, you know, with you with the press conference and other targets. So, you know, we're going to come out. There's 12 million targets, according to the ACLU, and we need the FISA court to do something about it. So we're just going to have to just put pressure on them to allow us to tell our stories and to sue, because we're actually in a great deal of trouble in regards to the surveillance, and it's evolving, and they're doing a lot of horrible things to us. And so I have the proof here. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but thank you so much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I like just what you sent me. So what you sent me is very interesting. Matter of fact, it's huge, you know, because one of the things
it really is.
It tells a story. And
it is,
and you know, by you, but the story that's really fascinating to me is the article in the newspaper about South Africa. That blew my mind. My mind could not compute that something like that was happening in South Africa to black people. So it kind of like.
Well, I have
really
to tell you, I will say this. I think South Africa, even though I'm not well, I think working there prepared me for this, because those South Africans, they didn't have weapons. They didn't have tanks. They had rocks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of them died, but they had rocks. And, you know, mm-hmm. you can't be around Nelson Mandela and not have the spirit of him, you know, affect you in some way or another. So, you know, maybe this is just what I'm supposed to do, even though I don't really feel like doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to let mm-hmm. God just move me and, you know, your show. And thank you so much for allowing me to speak about this, because I'm really doing this for all of us, because we are in a lot of trouble. And I appreciate you and your wife, and just thank you. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much for your help.
Absolutely. Well, wow. Well, I, you know, you gave me an education too, so I'm really excited and so amazed more than anything else. Wow, this is huge. Well, listen, I gotta let you go. But
it's horrible.
Absolutely.
It's terrible.
Absolutely. All right, now have a great day. We'll talk soon.
Thank
All right,
you so
now.
Much.
You're welcome. You're welcome, and you are welcome again. And now I got to bring in my good friend from sunny Detroit. I know she got a lot to talk about, and she has so much. You know, she don't get a chance to bring everything out she want to do. She is only an hour show, but she wants the show to be about 4 or 5 hours. But unfortunately, I'm not a 4 or 5 hour person. But I'm always happy to have her on. My girl, the one and only Marcina Cole. Talk to me.
Reverend Pinkney, hush your mouth. You know I don't want your show to be 4 or 5 hours. Listen, I know there's so much going on within a 24-hour period, 7 days a week. You know, before you know it, Monday is here, and then Saturday is next. So, and then Sunday comes up. So, yes, there's a lot going on. I only can touch on just a little bit that affects us. This is a crazy world. And we talked about some things with what's happening on social media, because we use that platform to spread, you know, what's going on in our cities, in our states, and across the country and the world. But sometimes that platform is putting a hold on us to speak out about how we feel about what's going on with the Robert Greene case in Louisiana. That's been hidden information for 2 years, which has been going on in the state of Louisiana for years, where the police have been withholding, you know, information about them murdering a person of color, and that's across the country. So this information that with Europe, I want to bring this up in regards to censorship with social media, particularly Facebook, since I have various pages. I can't keep up with all of them. But I do focus on your page in support of you and my page dealing with, you know, the current COVID-19 pandemic. So I do share videos, in particular one with Robert Greene, and I wanted to just, you know, test, and I asked you just to see whether that's going to be removed. Well, Facebook let it stay on with the disturbing image of this person. He was deceased. He was very swollen up in the face, Robert Greene. And this is out there. This is stuff that information has been shared. I didn't make this stuff up. This man was killed by the police, so I don't understand why Facebook suppresses information that has something to do with law enforcement killing black folks. So when I post something and have an opinion about it, And we reach out to various people in the community. Over 100 some people have watched a video that I posted. That I got a problem with that. They, you know, telling me about community standards and all that. So I'm dealing with this with social media basically being censored, in the nice way of putting it. I've been on Facebook jail. So if I talk about the Palestinians, you know, free the Palestinians, and I show a video where I was at a rally over a week ago, and that was blocked. So, you know, it gets kind of, you know, irritating for me, Reverend Pinckney. But this is what we deal with when we out here speaking the truth of what's going on with people of color, particularly black folks, dealing with the brutalization coming from the police and killing us, and they suppress this information. So, therefore, our lives don't matter, and we keep trying to say our lives do matter. And so I wanted to touch on that when it comes down and putting the word out there, because some people that go by the corporate media instead of the independent media, what's really going on, you know, in this country and the world today. But nevertheless, we're going to keep it moving. And I also want to touch on, okay, we already know, Reverend Pinckney, about the CDC, Center for Disease Control, FDA, Food Drug Administration, who regulates the, you know, the mask that we, at the time since last year, when COVID-19 is a pandemic that came from an Asian country and was basically came United States due to the former president not having a mandate about masks and letting people come in from outside this country, in this country, and spreading the stuff, the coronavirus. We're still in the middle of a pandemic, and now what I see going out in the street, going to a place of business, I see people too relaxed, not wearing masks because the Center for Disease Control, CDC, saying if you've been fully vaccinated, then you can go to a restaurant or a bar or outdoor activity, among others. Now, my question is, how would they know who's been vaccinated and who has not? So I
That's
went
a good
to
question.
A restaurant today,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I was just astounded how many people was in there, and the worker, I'm concerned about the workers, and some of them didn't have masks on, and generally a younger people, you know, they don't want to wear these masks, and I'm not saying that she wasn't fully vaccinated. I don't know. Just like people coming in there who didn't have a mask on, they don't know either. So I feel that we're putting ourselves at risk across the country, and we might be looking towards another surge of this coronavirus.
This could be, what, the third or fourth one. But here's my thing. Even if a person has been fully vaccinated, I'm wearing a mask. I'm making sure. In some cases, I might even wear two masks. It all depends. But my thing is this: I think they done messed this thing up so bad by saying that they could, if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Because here's the reason why: like you said earlier, who knows who's been vaccinated?
Yeah.
I can go around saying I've been vaccinated. You know,
and what does that mean? What does that mean? Because Reverend Pinckney, and remember this: they said the vaccines that people had gotten only last 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
So CDC and FDA, they're not giving us. They're giving us mixed information. So, therefore, people don't know what to do. Take the mask off, put it back on. The entrepreneurs out here that have businesses dealing with the public, they don't know whether to take the sign down and saying, you know, you don't have to wear a mask. If you have one, you got to show your, you know, your vaccine card. But they're not saying that, show the vaccine card, say you've been vaccinated. It's too vague. And they weren't so much about the economy. They're worrying about people's lives. And they must understand people are still dying every day across this country from COVID-19.
Yeah,
so they suppress the news of what's really going on. They're suppressing the numbers. They're saying 5% in this country, the COVID-19 cases have declined. But, you know, the numbers have always been altered since this COVID-19 came in this country and the world. So we know that there's folks out here. I know of people personally that's not here today. People who had like two family members who had died back to back from COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about weekly in the state of Michigan. So we got a problem when we ignore the percentage of people that have been affected by COVID-19 and not here today. And then when some of them have survived the virus, however, they still have a long-term effect, affecting their heart, their memory, and also affecting their taste and, you know, and smell and a number of other issues that's going on. So we just dismissing all that. So these so-called leaders, scientists, these governors across the country, they want to get back on track with the economy and all this other yada, yada, yada. They don't care nothing about us. So people have to make that personal decision whether to maintain safety for themselves and their families, that they want to still be here and wear that mask until whenever, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to be caught in the middle of the crowd and most of these folks are, you know, going to be catching this virus. And then don't forget the variants. The variants are still here. We fight
right.
Someone we don't see. We fight someone we don't see. So how do these folks know what's going on? A lot of them, they really
mask.
Don't know.
That's huh? Right. Wear your mask.
Wear
that's,
my
that's,
mask,
that's
and that's what
at.
I did.
Yeah.
And
wear your mask.
Wear my mask.
You know.
And make sure that I would pass that on to others as well. And if they're not wearing theirs, and it's a restaurant, I went in there, I walked right back out the door. If I don't feel comfortable with the situation, because nobody's showing proof of their freaking card. And by the way, I just want to say people who've been fully vaccinated have also, all percentage have gotten contracted COVID-19. So we must
mm-hmm.
understand, even though a person has been fully vaccinated, doesn't mean they're exonerated from getting the COVID. It just wouldn't have the serious effects of normally, you know, would end up on the ventilator and stuff. I'm hearing people recently have been on a ventilator. So you know, I pray for those family members and the person who's on the ventilator that their health would improve. Reverend Pinkney, do I have time to just to talk, just do a little touch about us in solidarity with the Palestinians real quick?
Go right ahead. Go right
okay.
ahead, you know. Yeah, you want the show to be 5 hours, so you go right here.
No. But anyway, I just in solidarity with Palestinians, they basically want people across the world to support them. The United States should not be continuously funding billions of dollars every year when we got people out here that's living under the viaduct, homeless people. Don't have food to eat and a place to sleep. But yet we fund these atrocities that are going by. This war has been going on since the 1940s, you see. It's been going on, and we can't even count how many lives have been taken and bombed where the Palestinians live and the mosque being bombed, you know, where they are worshiped. This is going on right now to this day. And we still have American people supporting Israel, which I don't understand, where they're bombing various places, West Bank, you know, and you name the Gaza, which is just a little bit of strip left, you know, killing men, women, and children, over 65 children. We already know it's more than what they say, and they said 250 Palestinians. We know it's way more than that. And they, I mean, they'll, you know, stop the bombing for a minute and then resume it. So the Israelites would do that. So it's just so evil that we must understand we as one, as Black Lives Matter, all lives, when it comes down to the oppressor oppressing people and killing them, the Palestinians supported Black Lives Matter also. Today and in the past, we all should unite together. Even Angela Davis said the same thing, you know, in solidarity for the Palestinians in the struggle for freedom of these people, that these dying in shoes or whatever. It's not anti-Semitic to talk about this, but we get continuously turn our backs on people getting murdered.
Absolutely,
you know,
and
so,
slaughtered.
Yeah, so we
and,
have to,
and you know what? Remember this too: the Palestinians, they don't even have an army.
They don't have nothing, trying to act like they
fired some kind of rockets. The rockets that they don't have no planes. They don't have no tanks. They fight with rocks. They throw rocks at them, and they shooting bullets at them. And see, the United States won't tell the truth. They're not going to tell the truth because they support them, the murderers, slaughter, them folks. They're not but murderers. That's what they are. And they know that they can go in there any time and slaughter them people. And when I say slaughter. And that's what they do. And you don't never hear over here in America people tell, oh, they fired at them first. They did this. They are, you know, always trying to make excuses for them murderers. And that's what they do. Because the United States is nothing but a group of murderers themselves. They're the same people. But here's my thing.
Right.
I'm surprised the Russia and the Chinese don't come to the aid of the Palestinians. I'm really shocked.
I hadn't heard nothing about them involved in it, but I did read about in Durban in South Africa, there's a union, and in solidarity, they refused to take supplies off a ship in support of Israel. They refused, they was in support of Palestinian people. And
yeah.
So the South African
I'm surprised like Iran, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, they don't come in and those are their brothers. And they don't come in and help the Palestinians.
And you know what?
They
were involved in the war too.
That's what they should do.
They should put
Israel right in the sea.
Right, yeah, because it's anytime you are bombing a place of worship, a mosque that's been around for 100 years or more, it's an atrocity that goes on in the violation of human rights, and we all should be concerned of anybody's human rights being violated, you know, because we know about that, and we should not turn our back and be in support of their struggles, because, you know, what's going on here, they try to, you know, these white supremacists try to create a civil war right here.
Yeah,
you know?
Same
so,
stuff.
You know, who knows? It might be, you know, they might be trying to do a bloodbath on us. Because ain't nobody talking about it. They want to suppress it, you know, with these white supremacists coming out with their AK-47s and AR-15s, and they want to continuously to have these. And anytime they go to, to the U.S. Capitol with their guns and saying it was just a tour, you know, they were tourists, we have issues too. And it's a possibility, and I said years ago, we could also be involved in the Civil War. So we have to, you know, stand together to continuously fight for ourselves and others as well. But they are across the world, France and England, in support of the Palestinians, and thousands of people were in the streets, you know, with the Palestine flag. So even here in the United States, they had rallies. Past weeks, where in attendance were were thousands of people as well. So the more folks, and hopefully with the Netanyahu or whatever his name is, the prime minister over there, Israel, he is such a demonic person. It's horrific. But free, you're not free, and they're not free. We all should be free of our from oppression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just can't take we cannot take that for granted, and we continuously fight for our rights. It gets tiring sometimes, but you never know what's going to happen here in this country. We just have to be prepared.
Absolutely.
We can't be so optimistic like everything's going to be okay, but we can. You can already see what's going on in this country and how they're suppressing our voices on social media and censoring you and all that, you know, making threats to take you off Facebook or whatever platform there is. And, you know, with Minister Farrakhan, they removed him of all social media, but they kept Donald Trump right on there.
Mm,
you know, and others as well,
right,
that was speaking of hate and killing folks, and they kept them on there. So I don't know what the, you know, so why they took Minister Farrakhan, because he has a lot of followers. They don't want black people to connect with each other. They want us to separate. So in order to do that, they have to shut us down. If it means one by one, shut us down. That's what they're doing. So we must,
yep,
you know, still have to push those barriers away and move forward, continue to fight for our freedom and equality and justice. It's a hard ball. It takes me down sometimes, but I have to rise up and gain my strength from the higher power, you know, and keep that faith that things will come forward as with positive change and not so much suppression that's going on, that's happening by the white supremacists that's suppressing us.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Yep, that's amazing. The Palestinians, you know, my heart goes out to them. And they're trying to build Israel up like they somebody, and they never mention how they slaughtering these people. They go
they
in there and
mention
just kill
none of that.
Yeah, they don't.
It's bad, but these politicians are supporting them too, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, it's hard when we stick our neck out and tell the truth, and you know they're going to throw darts at you, Reverend Pinkney. They might not like what you said, but it don't stop you from speaking out, and you spoke out
absolutely.
Racism.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And,
they've been doing that for years. They've been doing that for years. It is what it is, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's right. But hopefully we could, in the United States, can stop these billions of dollars going to Israel to fund these weapons.
That's right. Defund Israel. That's what they do. They get so much money from the United States.
That's what I'm doing. That's what they buy
those
weapons.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
They get weapons. They get everything from the United States. That's why I'm surprised the Russians and the Chinese don't support the Palestinians. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
They know this country don't. Anything that's right, this country is not going to support it.
They're not going to support it. And so if they don't, you know, they're not supporting us, okay?
No.
We fighting. I don't know why we waiting on them to help us out. We can't even get reparations.
No, you ain't going to get that. That's going to be tough to get. Them white folks ain't giving up that money to black folks because they look at it as a handout. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
It's too much like right.
We're going to keep the cover up.
Well, you know, there's never going to be a change, never, ever going to be a change without a conflict. It's just going
right.
to have to be some casualties on both sides. That's how I look at it. And until that happens, they're going to continue doing the same thing they're doing now. You know, they killing us left and right. We're killing ourselves.
That's right.
Everything. Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Reverend Pete, now, just looking at something, you know how they, and they find kind of ways to kill us, you know, this COVID-19, disproportionately, racially disproportionately, we were the ones affected the most and dying from it. And then our water be tainted where there's, you know, dominancy when it comes down to people of color, we have problems with our water, tainted water and stuff. My water and my bathroom smells really bad. There's something in it. I do have, I have acid pure, just still water, but I've used the sink. Most of all of us use the sink. It's a funny odor. But I bring that up because this is how they control people, by tainting our water and our food. And even back to the Palestinians, it's been reported over 800,000 people does not have access to clean water. So this is a strategic thing, but what the oppressor does all over the world is to destroy your food source, your air, and your water, the survival.
There you go.
For us, for human surviving.
That's it right there.
Yeah. So, yeah, we continuously fight. And we, when it comes down to the ecosystem and all that, all lives, animals and all that, lives matter too. So they drink in the water too. They ain't going to drink no water that's poison. But a lot of times we don't know the stuff is poison.
But
so
you usually when the water is poison, they target certain areas. I can't even see how they do it. Like, you know, in St. Joseph, Michigan, which is like 98% white or pink, whatever you want to call them, they got clean water. And they right across the bridge from us, and we got dirty water. They got Stevensville. They got clean water. Everybody, and even Benton Township got clean water. But Benton Harbor don't have clean water.
And you know why? They got it from a different source. Where the water come from?
Everybody used to get water from Benton Harbor. Everybody.
Right.
Now they got their own water, and Benton Harbor water is all jacked up. So, you know, like I said, it is what it is. But listen, I got to sign off early. I got some things I need to do. You have
okay,
a minute.
Well, yeah, I appreciate
you, Reverend
Pinkney. Okay. Have a good evening. Thank you for your time. Okay. Take care. Wow.
So you got a chance to get all your information in this time. So that way you don't.
Well,
I don't
know what.
You
I left some stuff out. Thanks a lot, Reverend Pinkney. I appreciate it.
Oh, no. No. Say it ain't so. I know you left some stuff out. I'm not going to say another word. I can't. I got to finish up because I got some things I need to do. But we'll talk soon. Listen, next week, same time, same station. Everybody, let's do what we got to do. All right now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.